Good to see each one here. Glad each one's doing better. I'd like to look in Daniel, the fourth chapter, the 19th verse. It says, "And Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and then it was meat for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown, and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, Hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with the band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field till 7 times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility." This is a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and Daniel interpreted this to the king. In verse 28, he goes on, he said, "All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. He walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O king Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and His ways judgment, and those that walk in pride He is able to abase. You know, this is a wonderful account. It's the mercy of God to a heathen, foreign king that probably didn't have a whole lot of access to scriptural knowledge and things of that nature besides his dealings with Daniel. The Lord was very merciful to him. The Lord worked with this king. And what a change. What a change it wrought on his mind. You know, he didn't accept Daniel's counsel at the first, did he? I don't know what ran through his mind. What he thought, me being a wild beast? I don't think so. I don't know what all he thought of, but one year later, when he was in the palace and those words came out of his mouth, don't you know the Lord, I tell you, the Lord sees, the Lord hears, the Lord knows the things that happened, the statements and things that people made, and the attitudes of the heart. The Lord sees, He knows, and it says those that walk in pride, He is able to abase. You know, King Nebuchadnezzar had a lot going for him. He had a kingdom, and it was the first world kingdom, I guess we could say. Wealth, fame, he had a lot of the things that could lend itself to pride. And it did. And he was lifted up in his mind and in his heart. But God had mercy on him. And God dealt with him. I would have liked to have met Nebuchadnezzar. Maybe we'll see him in heaven. Because it says he extols, he praised, and he honored the God of heaven. I don't know, 7 years, that's a long time to be eating grass. But you know, sometimes us as humans, it takes sometimes a long time for us to get the message that God wants us to have, the understanding that God wants us to have in our life. Sometimes it takes a few years for Him to bring us to a place where we extol and honor. My thought was how important it is for us to glorify God and to be thankful and to live to His glory and to His honor. One place he talked about, he said, do all whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. But pride hinders that. Pride keeps us. There's a lot of things about pride. One thing is, pride is something that's very difficult to see. It's very difficult to, if the Lord doesn't help us to see pride, we won't see it. If we have pride, it takes God to help us to see pride. One place it says, "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee." Pride keeps us from being able to see truth. It keeps us from being able to see things about ourselves. It hinders our spiritual vision, pride will. And there's different things about pride. One of the main things about pride is it's so hard to see, that it's difficult to see pride. But there's different types of pride. There can be a family pride. There can be personal pride. There can be religious pride. And the scripture talks about in 1 John, it mentions the pride of life. There can be different things, and pride keeps us from acknowledging God. It keeps us from being able to give Him glory and honor. It keeps us from giving Him praise and thanksgiving. I want to just notice another verse here in Daniel, the 5th chapter, with Belshazzar, the 17th verse. This is when Belshazzar saw the handwriting on the wall. Daniel came to him. Verse 17, it said, "Then Daniel answered and said before the king, 'Let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another.'" He was not interested in the king's gifts. "And give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar." Now he refers him back. Now this scripture says a father, but I'm pretty sure that this was actually a grandson, from what I've studied and what I've understood. Maybe it was from the Septuagint, but I believe it was a grandson. But nevertheless, he knew what had happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Belshazzar knew the dealing that God had with Nebuchadnezzar, which was in his line. "He gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor." God gave that to Nebuchadnezzar. "And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew. Whom he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him." That kind of stood out to me. His mind hardened in pride. His heart was lifted up, his mind hardened in pride. And Belshazzar knew these things. Verse 22, he said, "And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all these things, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and of brass, iron and wood and stone, which see thee." You know, this was just like with Nebuchadnezzar. It said, as soon as the words was in his mouth, when they brought the cups from the temple and they started drinking on them, the hand appeared upon the wall. The writing appeared. The handwriting on the wall. The Lord knew their thoughts. The Lord knew their pride. And they crossed they crossed the line. Daniel warned him, but his warning was, it was kind of late. He lost his life that very night. But pride hinders people. You know, they were lifted up. While they were having the party, Darius, the Median, came in. They were on the move when they were in their pride and their revelry. And pride keeps us from spiritually seeing spiritual dangers. It hinders us from seeing the power of the enemy at work. And Lord, help us today. I believe God, He works in our lives to humble us, to keep us humble. I remember Brother Chuck telling us one time, he said, the Lord knows how to pull the carpet out from underneath of us. If we entertain proud thoughts or proud ways, the Lord knows how to pull the carpet out right from underneath of us. I want to go to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. The Corinthian congregation had some issues, but I want to look at the first chapter and the 27th verse, 1 Corinthians. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now this verse 29, that no flesh should glory in His presence, is talking about glorying in ourselves. It's talking about pride. And God uses weak things. He uses things to remind us that we're human. Remind us of our true condition, of our true state. I believe God works with people this way. He brings to naught the things that are lifted up, the things that are high. He goes on, he mentions in 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, in the 6th verse, he says, "And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another." He used this word puffed up. He used it several times in this writing. Verse 18, it says, "Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power." So there was things working. He mentions in verse 7, verse 6 of the next chapter, "Your glorying is not good." See, they weren't really glorying in the Lord. They were glorying in themselves. There's nothing wrong with glorying in God. There's nothing wrong with honoring God and glorying in His power when we're giving Him the glory and the honor. But if self is behind it, if self is in there, that kind of glorying is not good. And he said, "A little leaven." Leaven, we know what leaven is. Leaven puffs up. Leaven expands. And that's what, when I look the word puffed up, that's what it means. It means blowing up to inflate, to make proud, haughty, puff up. He said, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You know, I believe the Lord works in our, whatever the points of pride we may have, the Lord, I believe, is choosing the base things to bring to naught those things that no flesh should glory in His presence. The Lord wants to bring us. I'll be honest with you this morning, when I've just yesterday, the Lord brought back things years ago. There's a couple of different things the Lord brought back to my mind. One thing was a letter that I'd written, and another thing was kind of an attitude that I had. And the Lord has shown me that that was arrogant, that that was prideful. And I believe God works to help purge us, because we're going to be tempted with pride at different times. We're going to be tempted with pride. I read an article about a minister that was talking about he was guilty of preaching himself instead of Christ Jesus. He was desiring to bring glory to himself instead of giving Christ the glory and the honor of everything that was said and done. And the Holy Spirit wants to purge us of temptations towards pride and those places of arrogancy, or things that we feel like we're better than others, or we have an edge on others, or a benefit over others. The Lord wants us to recognize that we have nothing without the grace of God, without His mercy, without His love. We have absolutely nothing. You know, when he talked about, the Pharisees, they said, we're Abraham's seed. We're Abraham's lineage. And Jesus didn't give any credence to that. He said, God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. What are you boasting about? They were boasting of their family line, their family lineage. And I think I appreciated my mom, my dad, I appreciate my family, those that have influenced. I appreciate God, I'm thankful to God, but there's nothing to glory in. You know, when we're in Adam's line, there's my dad's side of the family, I don't even know all of the history there. But every family line has, grace doesn't come through the blood, through natural, hereditary. There's things there in family lines and family trees that we're ashamed of, and we recognize that we're not. But the Lord wants to bring us, He wants us to be humble, to give Him glory, to give Him honor. One place He mentions here in verse 7, it says, chapter 4, verse 6, He says, you be puffed up one against another. He said, verse 7, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? So they had some issues. They were trying to line themselves up with Paul. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Peter. He said, is Christ divided? He said, was Paul crucified for you? No, but it was pride. It was their pride that was working. It was the pride. There was a little leaven there that was starting to puff up and to work. I've heard people make comment about spiritual pride. There's a spiritual pride. Lord, help us today to walk humbly before God and to be able to have that love and that heart that extends to everybody. Joshua, the 7th chapter, I won't turn there. It's just where he was talking to Achan. You remember they had gone to battle and they couldn't stand before their enemies because Achan had... He had trespassed, but I thought Joshua told Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. He said it would give glory to God if you open up and tell me, you know, what you've, the lot had fallen on them. The lot had fallen on him. And all Israel, there they were standing before all Israel, and the lot had fallen on him. And he said, give glory. You know, it was kind of sad. It had to come down to his, you know, he didn't stop the whole thing and said, here, let's stop this waste of time. I'm guilty. I'm the one that caused the failure. The lot came down to him. And sometimes in our humanity, that's the way we are. We make excuses, we hide. But the Lord knew. But he said, give glory, God, to God, and tell me confess what you have done. You know, repentance is giving glory to God. When we repent of our sins, when we repent of our failures in life, when we repent of our mistakes, we don't just write over them or cover them over, but when we repent, we ask God to forgiveness. We ask the people that we've wronged forgive us. That glorifies God. And that helps us. That glorifies God. And that's why sometimes many people don't find God, because they don't want to humble themselves. They don't want to acknowledge, because repentance is saying, I was wrong. And God was right. A lack of repentance is saying, I'm okay. When I fail to repent, I'm setting my way against God's way. I'm putting my way up against His way. But when I repent and I ask forgiveness and I say I'm sorry, I'm acknowledging, I'm glorifying God and realizing that I have done wrong and God's ways are right. And I just thank God today for His mercy that He has showed to Nebuchadnezzar and that He showed to people. There was another scripture. Let me get another place. 2 Chronicles 33. I want to read this account. 2 Chronicles 33 and verse 24. It says, in those days Hezekiah was sick to the death, and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. I guess it's saying the Lord spake unto him. I think it's probably referring to when Isaiah came to him, and the sign was with the sun clock being turned back. I believe that's what it's referring to. But listen what verse 25 says. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. So he prayed to God, and God helped him, and God blessed him, but it says that he rendered not according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. This is quite a scripture to me. And then when you read on down past that, it tells all the benefit that God gave to him, how the Lord helped him in so many ways, and all the storehouses and things that God had blessed him with. But at one point, and it doesn't really describe, it says, notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart. Somewhere he recognized his error, and he humbled his heart. And it said, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And it doesn't really explain, it doesn't really tell if there was a situation that arose that got their attention, or it doesn't really explain that. Maybe you know what it is. I'm not for sure. But some way they were able to recognize their need. They saw the pride of their heart. God help them. And you know, it's that way. Sometimes it seems like it takes things, boom, to get our attention. And I'm not just speaking to this congregation. I'm speaking about humanity. It just takes, and sometimes it's our points of pride. It's our points of pride that the Lord, and there's another scripture, I didn't bring that out, but I read it, but it was the point of pride that the Lord hit and worked against. It was the point, the thing that they were taking pride in was the very thing that God touched. And I believe the Lord works this way with people in life. He brings us to a point where we recognize that we have great need and that we need great mercy from the Lord God of heaven for all that we are, all that we do, all that we say. We need the Lord's help and His blessing and His favor, because without it, we're nothing. That scripture we read in Nebuchadnezzar said, all the inhabitants of the earth are imputed as nothing. All the glory of the kingdoms, all the military might, all the financing, all the money, all the things that are going on in the world today are imputed as nothing before the God of heaven. Lord, help us to walk humbly. What does the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Pray for me.